Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. There are a few people that have called it like it is for a very long time and again might not like what he has to say, but it continues to prove right. Very happy to have Tom Luongo back on the show. Thank you for joining me, sir.
Hi, Mel. How are you? How you been?
I've been good. I've been watching. You've been out there really prolifically covering everything that's going on, which is very difficult to do. What first and foremost do you think isn't getting attention that should be? Because you tend to really call things out way before people ever realize they matter.
Wow. At this point, I wrote an article last week that finally, I guess it was good enough that Zero had finally put away they're upset with me about telling them they were wrong about the Fed. So, right. Talking about Egypt and Turkey and the potential roles that they could make, the potential moves they could make, and the roles they could play, and how things play out in the Middle East. We have there's so much we could talk about from that perspective. But the angle there, of course, is that. And both of them have significant debt to the West that they could, well, basically default on. And since most of our position around the world, right, both, you know, the United States, Britain, Europe, all of it, the collective West,
right,
rests on what? Three pillars of power. It rests on the dollar. It rests on the U.S. military. And it rests on our ability to enforce debt that's owed to us through various agencies like the IMF and the World Trade Organization, the OECD and the World Bank and all the rest of it, right?
Yes.
Those three things form a tripod of power, along with the institutions that enforce the regulations and create the regulations with all of this stuff is rests upon. And then we're adding in things like the WHO and other things to support the quote-unquote Davos agenda.
Right.
But the one that refuses, and all three of those have to remain inviolate in terms of their perception of potency, right? So no one can default or write down a dollar of their debt to the IMF. The U.S. military cannot be revealed to be vulnerable in any significant way against a significant other military, foreign military. And the dollar itself has to be defended in many ways. The dollar, quote unquote, that system has to be defended. And so we see the U.S. and the West attempting to hold on to all three of those pillars of those of the tripod in order to keep that whole thing together. But at the same time, as I've been trying to tell people for the last couple of years, they're fighting at the top as to how to go about this and who gets exactly. to control those three pillars going forward. And this is the ultimately, I think, why it's so one, so difficult for everybody to map because it's, you know, to a lot of people, and I don't mean this to be condescending in any way, manner, shape, or form. I didn't understand most of the stuff at this level, say 5 years ago, right? 5 years ago, I was a neophyte at this, right? So if you're just getting to this state of trying to understand what's happening out there, of course you're going to be learning, uncovering the stuff by layer, by layer, by layer, by layer, and each time. You know, and if you encounter someone like me who's already at layer six and you're at layer one, it's not going to make any sense, right?
Right.
So, like, I get it, and I take nothing away from people who are still kind of going down the rabbit hole, as it were, and just trying to understand the layers of how these things interact. So, I forgive everybody for still thinking it's all one big club and we ain't in it, but it really isn't. Right. Carlin was right about that when he said it 20 years ago. But he wouldn't be right about it today if he was still running that same shtick, if he was still alive.
Right.
Rest in peace, George.
Yeah.
So that's where we are now, because we've reached a crisis point at every level where all three of those pillars are under extreme potential stress and an existential threat of being able to be continue to be enforced, right? And to be propped up. And that's why I thought, you know, everybody needs to understand how important it is for Egypt to, one, join the BRICS alliance and do so 2 months after the Russians and the Chinese are basically telling them, go ahead and default on your IMF debt. We've got your back. And they were doing that all summer.
Right.
Meanwhile, the IMF was sitting there saying, no, not $1 worth of write-downs. We'll restructure your debt so you're in debt to us for the next 600 years, but we're not going to write down $1 of the debt. You can pay us back $50 a week for the next 6 billion years, but we're not writing down a dollar of your debt.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what's happening, too. And also, they've been doing that, China and Russia, all over the place. Another thing, because we didn't talk about it yet, and I appreciate your articles that have been happening since October 7th with the Hamas attack and then everything since. A lot of people never put into the mix, which I did at first, and I still believe this, that a lot of it has to do with that land. And people are fighting over Palestinians, Israelis, Jews, Muslims. And I'm like looking at this and I'm saying Belt and Road Initiative, Agenda 2030, they want that land. And still people are not, they're fighting amongst themselves.
They're not getting it.
All these people marching over a ceasefire when they don't understand the people paying for both sides of this don't want a ceasefire. They want that land. What is your feeling about that landmass, and that maybe it's about that and about the entire, what you've been talking about all this time, and people just are so blinded by this color revolution BS, they can't even see the truth.
Well, it's, yes, I agree. I mean, I know that there's all that this land component is real. It's not like Bibi Netanyahu didn't, a month before the attack, go to the UN with a big red Sharpie and draw in a new trade route from Jerusalem to Mumbai. Like, you know, it's not like he didn't like let the game out of the freaking bag. And Netanyahu always does this, right? So, yes. But at the same time, like the whole Ben-Gurion Canal thing and the offshore gas rights and all of that stuff, some of that is also a canard, because, you know, they have to blow through mountains to create that canal. And like, this is just another one of those boondoggle ideas, like the East Med pipeline. That seems like a good idea. Hey, we've got all this gas off the shore of Israel, and we'll just pipe it into the southern, you know, European states like Greece and or Italy. And that sounds great until you look at the geography of the seaflat of the Eastern Mediterranean. And you're like, well, as long as you're willing to, like, you know, jog every 4 feet in order, you know, on a rocky floor, and there's a volcanic activity and there's everything else down there. It would be one of the shortest and most expensive pipelines in human history to build. It's why it's never gotten off the ground. It has nothing to do with the fact that the Palestinians are squatting on this land or someone else has these rights or anything else. It's just literally, it's a boondoggle. It's, you know, I talked about this ages ago with the pipeline that comes in, the Southern Transport Corridor that comes in from, brings gas in from Azerbaijan, right, into Greece and Italy. And there's Ursula von der Leyen, when it finally goes live, saying, this is a great day for Europe, bringing 10 billion cubic meters of gas a year into the EU. Meanwhile, one stream of Turkstream brings in 18.75, and they can easily bring in 4 of those.
Right.
Okay. Nord Stream 2, $55 billion. It cost the Russians $10 billion, and they built it in 3 years. And do you know how much it cost to build the 10 BCM pipeline from Azerbaijan? $40 billion.
Wow.
Exactly.
But there's also the port there.
So one-fifth the gas for 4 times the price, but somehow this is good for Europe. Yeah. And the East Med pipeline would be exactly the same kind of thing. The reason they're floating this idea of the Ben-Gurion Canal out there again, which has been on the drawing board since the 60s, is because the Brits and the West just lost control of the Suez Canal, which is what you and I talked about the last time I was on your show.
Right, exactly.
And I told everybody that the real story about the BRICS alliance was never, the BRICS summit was never going to be about this gold-backed currency. It was always going to be about, look at the 6 countries that they added. It's all about controlling the the trade bottlenecks that link east, west, north, and south that make the Middle East the Middle East.
Exactly. And I believe also, if you look at the map of the Belt and Road Initiative, you will see that the port, if they built the port right there where Gaza is, and they flatten that land, there's a lot of opportunity to connect some aspects of the Belt and Road Initiative even further into Eurasia. So, I mean, you have to think about that, because on October 7th, as you know, and you reported on, there happened to be a giant Belt and Road Initiative conference where the main speakers were Xi and Putin, with 130 other countries watching this go down in Israel in real time. And nobody's paying attention to that. So where does the Belt and Road Initiative fit in this situation? Because people think that that's just China, and it's not just China.
Oh, no, you got to understand that BRI is, for all intents and purposes, an east-west corridor from China into the Middle East to then get into, and then the points east and points west from there, into North Africa, into Europe, or wherever the goods want to flow. What is the International North-South Transport Corridor? Well, as it name suggests, it's a internet. It's a multimodal internet trade corridor that runs from St. Petersburg all the way down to the port of Chabahar on the southern Iranian coast, just to the west of India. So going through the Caspian Sea, Azerbaijan, the Nagorno-Karabakh, all of those things that are in the news, right, at Iran. But who's at the crossroads of both of these? Iran. Okay, so why is it that we get something that is now smelling more and more and more every day like it was a false flag of somebody's devising on October 7th, right? And then what happens within 24 hours? All the usual suspects come out and start screaming about how we have to bomb Iran. Why? It's no different than what they did after 9/11. 19 Saudis fly planes into the World Trade Center, and we go to war with Iraq and Afghanistan. And we let Osama bin Laden, supposedly the mastermind of this thing, get away. Right. Like, I don't know what the story is about 9/11 anymore. People ask me all the time, what's your opinion on it? Is it some kind of litmus test as to whether or not I'm for real or not? I'm like, dude, I don't care. I'm not looking behind me as to what these freaking people did 20 years ago. I'm looking ahead of me as to what they're about to do. And everybody listening to my voice needs to remember that. When they start chumming the waters with 9/11 stuff again, or the Kennedy assassination or some other damn thing, that's just chum to get you completely distracted from what they're actually doing.
Right.
And in many ways, I hate to put it this way, but in some ways, that's what Israel Gaza is right now. While they're making plans to do away with internet, to do away with our ability to speak freely on the internet, to do any of this stuff, backdoor their disinformation stuff, and Microsoft and Facebook are getting ready to take watermark all the data on the internet as to whether or not we're allowed to actually look at it or not. Thank you, Big Brother. And guess who's it? And this is another thing that I've been banging my shoe on the table like Khrushchev about. Has anybody noticed that all of a sudden every company in every country is run or is about to be run by an unconstructed person of Indian extraction who's still hoping for the British Raj to return? Has anybody noticed this?
No.
From Rishi Sunak to Mini Indian Trump to Nikki Nimrata, Waffle House waitress.
Yeah.
Nikki Haley to the guy who runs Microsoft, Google, this one. Who was that guy who used to be in charge of friggin' Twitter? It's everywhere. And they're all, and you dig 5 minutes into every one of these people, and every one of them hates Modi and wants the Brits to go back and be in charge of India, because they were all the ones, they were all from the families that made money when the British controlled India. It's a classic British body swerve. Away from where they're getting their ass kicked somewhere else, and now they're trying to maintain some amount of control somewhere else from some other vector, and it's being slid in on us. I'm like, sorry, no, Vivek, you don't get to run for VP. Nikki Haley, you don't get to be president of the United States.
Oh my good God, she's the worst.
Out, go a whole bunch of H1B visa holders. I'm done with it. I just am. And I hate that this sounds horribly racist, but because I know
it's
that
it's racist. Not, you're talking about factions. It's real.
This is what's going on. It's right in front of you and everybody can see it. If you just like take 5 seconds and go, huh, that's interesting. What do you think that means? What do you think it means?
Right.
But everybody's I still get people yelling at me telling me that the Brits aren't controlling this shit behind the scenes. I'm like, they're nuts. Sorry, go ahead.
I think what you're talking about is also, didn't that happen in Sweden? Didn't somebody, this is happening all over the world, but these are factions, yeah, as you've been talking about for a long time, while everyone's looking at the Davos crew. You have to understand, above our levels, they're fighting amongst themselves for who's going to run everything after this.
And they're all trying to, and every one of them has a hard on to destroy the United States.
Right.
That's the one through line through all of this.
I keep
the
telling
one through line through all of this is, no matter what happens, as long as the United States is destroyed, that's fine. And then they'll fight amongst themselves as to who gets to divvy up the spoils afterwards. And we're like sitting over here going, yeah, sorry, we have the Fed and we got the dollar and we have the U.S. military. And oh, by the way, we can drop manila folders on Lindsey Graham's desk with the best of them.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, what they were saying for a long time, I've totally changed. A long time people are saying they're not after Trump, they're after you, and Trump's in the way. I've been saying, no, they're not after America. They're after the world, and America's in the way. And as soon as they can, they think remove America, well, then what? Then it's going to be the CCP fighting the Muslim Brotherhood, fighting the Davos Crown people, fighting these
or some other rotten nonsense. Right. Exactly, or some other rotten nonsense, it'll still be the same thing all over again. And yeah, at the end of the day, I was on with my friend Crypto Rich the other day, and we were talking about this. And I hate to do this because sometimes I get a little esoteric with my analogies, because it's just the stuff that pops into my head. But I can't help it because I've done so many weird things in my life that actually have informed what I do for a living now. So I'm a huge fan of board games. You've heard me say this before. Yeah. We've talked about this a little bit. And one of the great board games of all time is the one that's built on Frank Herbert's Dune. It's like the original asymmetric dudes on a map game trying to control, you know, can you control three cities on this? It's a very simple game. Can you control three cities at the end of the turn out of five?
Right.
It's harder than it looks. But what's interesting about that game is that everybody has a slightly different way to win, right? Four of the six factions have to actually control three cities. Everybody can win that way. But there are two factions that don't have to win that way. Okay? One is the Fremen. You know, classically, if the Fremen can keep everybody else from winning, then they win, because no one's controlled the surface of Arrakis. But if the Fremen and the Guild are in the game, the Spacing Guild, well, the Spacing Guild controls transport on and off of Arrakis, so therefore the Guild wins and they supersede the Fremen win. Okay, well, guess what, folks? The way you beat all of these fucking assholes is you be the Guild. How you win a game of Dune, if you're the Guild, and I'm, by the way, a masterful Guild player. That's one of the few times I will sit, because it's the weakest faction to play, but it's also the most fun to play, because you just keep everybody happy, and then the game ends of 6 hours later, and like, oh yeah, come on, yeah, what else is new? But it's one of the few times you'll actually see me sitting here very arrogantly telling, you know, as not being humble whatsoever. I'm very good at this. But I learned that lesson very well, because that's our strategy as people at the national level, at the community level, at the personal level. When you're dealing with a ridiculous county commission that wants to, like, you know, take all your freaking money and hand it to the indigent poor, you say no. You run out the clock on them. You know, if you're Jay Powell and they're pushing towards CBDCs around the world, you go, yeah, that's nice. And hey, how about we start? How about we give a PhD student $50,000 to research that for the next 6 years? Having it go nowhere. It looks like he's doing something, but it's actually not going anywhere. So the Fed is not on board with a retail CBDC and the end of the dollar, which makes it makes perfect sense when you understand that the Fed represents the commercial banks of the United States, not itself. And therefore, the commercial banks don't want a CBDC unless they control it. And that doesn't make any sense.
That's not what they're being offered right now.
And that's not what they're being offered. So that's the mechanism, is that's the metaphor for everybody. Just set back, monkey wrench the whole thing, say no a lot. And then you have people like Viktor Orban who stand up and go, hey, you know what? Sovereignty.
Right.
Hey, you know what? I'm still buying a nuclear power plant from the Russians. Hey, you know what? I'm going to put up a border wall. And if you try and force the people, if I try and force refugees into my country, and then when, you know, we say no, and then we have to put them in holding, like we do here in the United States, right? And then Soros then opens up a lawsuit. These people are set. These people are then having to be put in a hotel room or wherever in the United States. Well, you know what Orban did in Hungary? He didn't set the border wall by 10 feet off the border. Said, yeah, you can wait outside. It's still Hungary.
Yeah, so well, he's this putting is the his kind people of thing first. That
destroys these people.
Yeah, but he's putting his people first. He's putting his country first. He's doing what we'd hope. Well, while you know as well as I know, the Agenda 2030 and the Great Resetters, they think that nationalism, or they call it isolationism, when a country puts themselves first and they point fingers like, you're ruining everything. And it's like, no, if every country actually took care of themselves. Go ahead.
No, you're ruining everything. Yeah, for you, Ursula von der Leyen, or you, Klaus von Kommi Schnitzel, not for me.
Or like, my country.
No, absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. It's they call it national. They've turned nationalism into a four-letter word, beginning with the letter N and ending in the letter I. Populism is also a four-letter word.
Right.
I've been using this one for years. I just say, look, these are sovereigntists, and stop with the if we're gonna play commie word games, fine. I'm going to give you, here's a new word to play with. And then you guys have to come up with a way to stop sovereignists.
Exactly.
And
I thought,
this is a whistle for Nazism. Like, oh yeah, really explain that to me. I want to hear that. And then they got to start all over again. And then again, it's a monkey wrench mechanism by which to force the concepts into the zeitgeist, get people talking about it in a particular way, and then have them come back and go, I don't know how to counter that. Become ungovernable. Be a sovereigntist. These are ideas that transcend their silly word games. And then, of course, meme them out of existence. You know?
Hey, guys, thank you for watching the show. I just want to remind you yet again that we really need to be very cautious of what is going on with the economy, both here and internationally. Most of us know that the BRICS nations are looking for a gold-backed currency to dethrone the dollar, being the world reserve currency. They have an event coming up on August 22nd. The BRICS nations are all going. There are also 13 other nations that would like to join the BRICS nations. And this is not something to not pay attention to. We have to make sure that you protect your savings. And that is why I have chosen Beverly Hills Precious Metals. That is where I have gotten my gold and silver. I leave it in a depository. I know it's there. I've replaced it with my savings. I've put there to make sure that I weather the storm no matter what, be it the central bank digital currency, the BRICS nations, the dollar goes into collapse, whatever may happen. I know 401k, IRA, backed by gold, as well as having my savings, at least an amount of my savings in gold, in the depository or sent to you at home, is the best way to make sure you maintain peace of mind and make sure that your savings and everything that you've earned is safe no matter what comes. We will get through this. All is not lost. America will return to greatness as it always has been. But between now and then, we have to be very smart and very cognizant of what's going on. So please go to Mel K Gold, or go to the MelKShow.com partners page and go to Beverly Hills Precious Metals, and my friend Andrew will take care of you. He's got a great team. Gold is the way to go right now, and I know that no matter what, I'm safe. So please do that for yourselves. We really care about you here. You're more like family and friends, and I hear from all of you a lot. So I just want to make sure that you guys are doing something proactive to be prepared. All will be well, but take care of yourself now. Being prepared is always a good thing. Yeah, but these are real solutions. There's not a lot of real solutions out there. There's a lot of people. It really bothers me. I call them Twitter celebrities, people that are promoted on there, 500,000 or more. They're out there. They're talking left and right still. They're not really talking about what's really going on. And then all these sad people that follow them, they think that that's how they're thinking. And they're not even looking at a bigger picture. And, you know, something else I wanted to ask you about since I saw it and I thought about it. Another part of this whole situation is that you were talking about going back to 9/11 and all these things. But if you do think about the 2000 PNAC document and that whole plan from Rumsfeld and Cheney and Wolfowitz, that they're going to dominate the world militarily, basically make our only thing we are dealing with the military industrial complex. They're all going to make billions of dollars. They're going to go around and knock out anyone that's not going to go along with them. This whole militarization of the world that these guys came up with and implemented in high speed after 9/11 seems to have been a total failure. Because what I'm looking at is that the Chinese did, because the Belt and Road Initiative is about transportation. It's about all of that. It's also, I believe, their military plan. If you really look at it, they're controlling all the waterways, the transportation that would also be for military equipment, for military stuff. Then you have Joe Biden leave Afghanistan, leave Bagram to them, and who knows who else. And what I see is, why didn't we, I mean, and this is a real failure, and this is why I think we do have to look at the strategy that they took and what a disaster this militarization sanctions model of taking over the world was and is, and really rethink it at this point. Because what we should have done, I don't know if you're much better at this than me, but looking at it, was we should have been countering the Belt and Road Initiative, going into these countries and saying, no, we'll build your port. And we'll, I mean, if that was the route
we did try. But the problem, but we got to remember that before Belt and Road, we also blew up every project that we didn't control. Okay. So, like, Mel, I could spend a half an hour talking about the 20 years that Hillary Clinton spent trying to destroy the Iran-Pakistan-India pipeline, the IPI pipeline, as opposed, because she wanted the TAPI pipeline from Turkmenistan through Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, which is another boondoggle, but she was invested in it. That's what she wanted. So, like, we lost all trust with these people.
Right.
Because we go in and we act like a bunch of colonialized, it's just old British colonialism, and we learned it well. And that's all PNAC is. It's all this crap. It's nothing new. And, you know, you seduce people with the brass ring of power, and then, you know, let them go run hog wild and tell them they're going to make billions. And eventually, like, the whole thing just starts to collapse,
because
the Chinese and the Russians both are like, yeah, no, you're not running this operation again. We can see you this time, and we're strong enough to say no.
Right. And they have now this internet of people that saw through it after the pandemic. The game was over. People saw it. There were too many people that saw the plans laid out in front of them and could decipher. They don't have the Kissingers and Brzezinskis or the people working in the Crown that know what they're doing anymore, that can strategically do stuff covertly. They have a bunch of morons that are arrogant and want you to know, like serial killers. They want you to know about their crimes. And if they don't get attention, they're going to put it out there in a book like The Great Reset or the Fourth Industrial Revolution. But here's the thing now. So I'm sure you saw it, as everyone did yesterday, the welcoming of Xi into his city, I believe. I believe California and New York are fully captured by the CCP, and not just them, but certainly they have more power than Gavin Newsom or anyone else there. But I have to say that, so everyone watched as Xi was welcomed as a king, as a leader. Joe Biden calls him a dictator to his face and calls his country communist country. You see him blinking, almost crying. I would say at this point, and this might sound however anyone thinks, but I would say that we better really regroup and figure out how to be a part of what they're doing, rather than, I feel like the Belt and Road Initiative has gone too far and they have too much power. And if we don't find a way to work with them, then we are going to be left out. And it's because these neocons for the last all these years have been militarizing the world rather than finding ways to become important and indispensable. While the Chinese have become that, and now we're sitting here watching them in San Francisco, and we're hearing the same rhetoric. And I'm thinking, no, you have to rethink it. It's too late. They already lost that militarization game, I think.
No, I'm no military hardware expert, so I'm going to start there. I'm going to say that whether we have or have not lost the arms race or not is very much debatable. Okay. Right. A lot of people who want to say we have, the U.S. is a paper tiger. I'm like, you never show people all your best stuff. We spend billions of dollars and we waste more money than most people spend. And eventually you're going to get something out of that. Even if, you know, so yeah, you're, for every F-35, you're also going to get some systems that actually work. Okay. You know, and you have to assume that. And so, and watching the way the war in Ukraine has been played out over the last year and a half, and the way the war in Syria has played out over the last 6 or 7 years now, almost 8 years now. It is 8 years now. The way the U.S. and Russia dance around showing each other whole cards to each other in terms of their military capabilities is real. And so that should tell you if you are listening that both sides have stuff that they don't want anybody else to see. Now you could take the anti-American approach and go, we don't want to show it because our stuff sucks. And the other side of it, you could take the pro-American position, as I've heard that before, which is, oh, well, Russia doesn't want to show any of their shitty technology off either. And I'm like, no, they don't want to show off their best stuff. Like, they don't want to be, neither wants to be revealed as a paper tiger, but neither wants to be revealed as, you know, if you show people your best stuff, then they can figure out ways of countering because it's just technology. So this is the game that's being played. It's still being played. Right. It's still out there. And so what's happening with Belt and Road and with the INSTC, you're not going to stop this now. And I honestly think that the grownups on Wall Street at the Fed and the people adjacent to them understand this. I think it's very obvious that they understand it. You can see it on the political, you can see it on with the fights on Capitol Hill. You can see it in the sharp reversals that happen every once in a while from people who you would never expect to see sharp reversals from, like Lindsey Graham going out on the Sunday talk show circuit the other day and saying, not another dollar for Israel or Ukraine until we shore up the border. Interesting, Lindsey. So who stacked up the manila folders high enough on your desk to overcome whatever it is that Davos has got on you, that's what happened. Somebody got to Lindsey Graham and it wasn't the globalists for once. Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't these things happen. I look at Nikki Haley and I hate Nikki Haley with a purple passion. Okay. If she winds up being the GOP nominee and it's her versus Gavin Newsom, I'm voting dopey weed guy. You know, or I'm not voting at all, meaning that's dopey weed guy is the libertarian. And while I am a libertarian with a small L, I don't vote libertarian anymore because those people are fucking hopeless. And I know that there are good people trying to recapture the party as well. But until you do, folks, sorry.
Well, we got a year. We got a year until a supposed election. But all I'm saying is all they say is like the only option is war. And I don't believe the majority of people on planet Earth want that. I think it's just
that make money off
of it that want that. So why can't we just, is it impossible to just, like you said, be the adults in the room and have Americans take a step back and analyze the world and say, you know what, how are we going to avoid World War III? How can we turn this around? Maybe it is time to walk into it as an honest negotiator for future peace and cooperation. I mean, I know what they say about China, but what's our option? World War III?
Is that possible? Yeah, of course it's possible. That's my
question. Yeah.
Is it possible? Of course it's possible. Is it possible with the current people who are running the country? No. Sorry, it's not. So what you're seeing now is a whole bunch of delaying tactics being put in place on Capitol Hill through the budget talks and all of this stuff and the Fed doing what they're doing and all of this stuff in order to try and run out the clock on Biden. Meanwhile, you're seeing the same thing from Europe trying to run out the clock on Powell at the Fed. Okay? Like, they're all trying to run out the clock on each other, and it's all going to come down to the 2024 election.
And what are your thoughts on that?
Someone's trying to get us to an Archduke Ferdinand moment so that we can't come back from war. These are the things playing themselves out right now. These are the pawns that are being moved around the board for that moment. That's the best I got for you, Mel. And it scares the crap out of me because I know we're one General Ripper from Dr. Strangelove away from something really terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. And the sad part is that the American people are in such a state of learned helplessness. And then I don't think the masses really realize. Now, a lot of people are marching out there.
You think we're bad? We should talk to the Europeans that I talk to.
I feel like they're already done.
They just feel like it's already over. We're here in the U.S. Every American I talk to, and I don't talk to a lot of Americans, but everyone I talk to is like, yeah, with what army are they going to come in and steal all our money and steal all our property? Like, they're going to do the great taking, or they're going to do this, or they're going to do that. I'm like, yeah, there's 800 million guns in this country. Got news for you. We all have a stash to hand out to our anti-gunner friends when they finally, you know, grow up and get a brain. I'm like, it goes like this. You point that end over there. Here's the trigger. Look down the sight. Do the thing. And, you know, don't limp wrist it. Yeah. Like, okay, let's get it done.
Well, let me ask you this. And another reason about Nikki Haley, for everyone out there, she was in the UN. She knows how the sausage is made. She knows that there's a globalist. She knows they're done with America, and she could have done something about it. She's totally in the bag with them. And, you know, I saw Griffin and Jamie Dimon looking into her. I was like, no. Just
yeah, Dimon, like, this is, see, when I saw Dimon say that, I died a little inside when I heard that. I'm not going to lie. But I also know that, as I was trying to set up earlier, that Haley is an empty suit. Okay. She may be all in the tank for the neoconservative thing, and she may be their girl and everything else. But at the end of the day, she's not an independent actor.
No way.
Of course.
No way.
Therefore, it's so obvious therefore, now, though. If at this point, if it's obvious, the Dimon coming out behind Haley, and I saw the same thing from other people adjacent to Wall Street. Weird. Wall Street's hedging their bets if Trump is not going to win the election or is not going to be allowed to run, and they need to have somebody who they know they can control. They know they don't control Gruesome. They know they don't control Harris. They know they don't control Biden. Clearly, that's what Dimon saying, well, Haley wouldn't be terrible, or whatever he said. You know, I mean, the point being is that what Dimon is getting at is that Wall Street, one, hedges their bets. They give money to both sides in every election because they want to be able to continue doing what they're doing. But, you know, understand that it's early in the process, and there are a lot of manila folders that can hit a lot of people's desks. And that's Dimon saying, yeah, Nikki, if you want to be president, you're going for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the hedge funds, that means too. You're going to do what we tell you to do.
So
I trust on that Jamie note, Dimon more with the future of America than I trust just about anybody else at this point in a position of power. Because he's the only one talking about, hey, why don't we spend the money at home? Hey, why don't we drill for oil? Hey, why don't we give up this fantasy that we're gonna like decouple from China? Hey, how about the Dimon goes over to China and is treated like royalty. Yellen goes to China and she meets the Undersecretary of Transportation.
So embarrassing.
For you know, Guangdong or whatever. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's terrible. Like, for Kunming, like, it's ridiculous. Like,
it is.
And these people are so dumb. I mean, and then they sent Gavin Gruesome over there to show up his bona fides. And it was very clear that Xi was sizing up Gruesome, not the other way around.
To employ him. Gavin. You know, I lived in LA for 20 years. I am telling you, the CCP already has California, as far as I can see. All of the politicians there, they had all of Hollywood. They have all of the Napa Valley. I feel like it's their territory and New York. And I lived in both. But regardless, we have to figure out a way forward. Now, let's jump to, because you are a libertarian and you're pretty much, you really put out your own thinking. Nobody really can intimidate you. You say what it is. That's why I like you so much and have followed you all this time. So let's talk about Trump. What is your opinion on the situation? Because they are trying to get him off of the ballot in several states. It keeps failing. There is a lot coming out about January 6th that is really damaging. A lot of evidence that was never seen about the election. Not that we can do anything now. But Trump is still standing to some extent. But I feel like most of the people that are in power are just ignoring that.
Yeah, they are. But, you know, they'll ignore that until they're marched over. They're marched off the scene. Remember, these people will continue. Narcissists will never stop issuing orders and triangulating between people until they're like removed from the scene. And they'll still be issuing orders up until the moment that, you know, they're like put up against the firing line and shot. It's the way they are.
Right.
They'll never admit that they're wrong. They'll never give you what you want to hear, which is an apology for their abuse. They never will. You can't ask for it.
Nope.
Okay. And you can't expect it because they don't have any humanity because they don't care about anybody other than themselves. So Trump, you know, I think I think they're going to try and get him off the ballot in these states. And I think the SCOTUS, like, let's put it this way. The longer I don't see John Roberts show up to court with a black eye, the more I don't worry about Trump getting thrown off the ballot.
Right.
What I'm more worried about with the SCOTUS than anything else is they have to rule on this Chevron deference and get rid of the alphabet agency's abilities to right. make legislation on the fly, which is what they did the other day with you know, internet memes and all the rest of this.
Like,
this stuff yeah. has to end. And you get rid of the Chevron deference, and there's no freaking way Congress will be able to deal with that between now and the election, which is why it's was pushed off of last year's docket. It needs to be dealt with. That case needs to be freaking heard. It needs to be shut down. And the three-letter agencies need to stop legislating from the rear, which is what's going on, which is what everybody is complaining about.
Right.
And everybody complains, it yells at Congress, but Congress doesn't actually make the rules. The SCOTUS took that power away from them back in the 70s, which is what paved the way for this administrative state that we have today, which looks, oh, by the way, an awful lot like the fucking EU.
Yeah. It does. Well, by design, it's the same architects.
Duh. Yes. You know? And so we don't have a constitution. It doesn't work. We don't have a legislative branch. They gave up all of their freaking powers. Like, make Congress, you know, legislate again.
Right. Take it back to where it was. Also, we have all these trilateral commission people in the background. They're not for America. They're not for our sovereignty. They want this big bureaucracy. We have all these other people. We have the think tanks. I think lobbying should be outlawed and illegal. Like, there's so much that can be done, but somebody has to have the guts to do it. And that's why they're all complaining.
Somebody has to be in a position. Right. Somebody has to be in a position to finally do it right. Trump didn't understand what he had available to him right. because he did not know what the fuck he was doing.
And he was surrounded by people
who handled him and right. tried to just manage him and right. give him, you know, they just did this. And I'm telling you, the one thing that I do believe, and I, all right, okay, let me put it this way. The one thing that I do hope, and I know that hope is one letter away from cope, and it's also the most negative of all human emotions, because when you have hope, you have nothing else. But that being said, I have hope that this time, if Trump were to actually, if there were to be an election, it would be honored and Trump was actually inaugurated, that all these people would go to jail on January 21st.
I believe that is the plan. I know that is the plan. But the truth of the matter is that they're going to do everything they can to make sure that doesn't happen. I truly do hope that. I think it's funny that Jen Psaki gets on TV and she says he's going to seek vengeance. And I'm like, yeah, for us. I mean, I don't care about it. Vengeance for him.
Yeah. It's at least nice when they actually tell the truth for once. Because they spend so much time fucking lying.
So upset like, about him yeah, being like,
oh my God, we actually got the truth from these people. Yes. He's coming for you, Jen. Peppermint yeah. Patty. We're coming for you. And we're coming for that other one. We're coming for all of them.
And it's for the people.
Have a nice day. It's why I'm long gold and guillotines, by the way. Because at the end of the day, like, I don't know who's going to win. If, you know, if they win, I'm on gold. If we win, I'm on guillotines. Either way, gold goes up. I'm good.
Me too. And I keep buying gold because we know that between now and the election, anything could happen. What do you think in the markets and all of that? Oh, because you follow all of this stuff. Do you see?
We don't have time to tell you what I think about the markets at this point, but I'll give you this one for free. Watch.
Okay, great.
Watch the Japanese.
Watch the Japanese. You've been saying that for a very long time.
Watch the Japanese.
Wow. Careful. Okay, cool. Everyone listen to that. Watch the Japanese and continue to buy gold. And on top of that, last thing I wanted to say, just for sure. this, and then we'll move on to your really cool sweatshirt, because I'm going to buy one of those.
Cafe Press.
And everyone will probably stop me and ask me where I got it because it's so cool. But I'll tell you, last thing is the United Nations just passed out a report last week that was not noticed by many, where they criticized the United States because they evaluated our gun violence, our systematic racism, and our inequality. And they said that we have a lot of problems, and the UN feels that there should be some new amendments to the Constitution. And rated us very low, especially in systematic racism. I knew that this was going to happen because Blinken and Biden went right to the UN the minute they got in there, since Davos controls them and they wanted to hand it over. Any thoughts on the UN trying to do the gun grab? Because this whole document is about...
How are they going
to
do that? That's nice.
I don't know, but remember Obama had the thing?
I want to see UN troops show up on American soil.
That's what I think they're trying
to say. We're here for your guns. Like, Germans, we are here for your guns. Right. And we're like, what?
I know. Okay. They just put out this document.
We're having
and
a barbecue. We're having a barbecue in the backyard and your dinner. Like, no. Like, that's crazy. This is America, folks. Like, right. I don't know where you, I don't know where y'all live, but I know where I live. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. I saw them roll it out last week and I thought, oh, really? They're going to now say that America is the problem.
Yeah. Well, no, it's like, Davos believes that they can rule the world through lawfare.
Right.
And they'll just get there through lawfare. And eventually they'll just keep writing regulations and then say to everybody, if you want to trade with us, because we are so indispensable to the global economy, you have to adopt all of our rules. It's what they've done in California. It's how they dealt. Right. That's how California destroyed the United States. Well, I got news for you. That model, not going to work because they're not that indispensable anymore. And Europe is going backwards quickly. Sad. And that's the point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, just the EU watch it happen, and again, continue to watch the Japanese.
Okay, continue to watch the Japanese, folks, when it comes to the financial system. Okay, tell everyone not only where they can follow you. I do not always say that you should subscribe to somebody on every show, but I definitely think you should subscribe to Tom Luongo's newsletter and to his behind the paywall also, because if you really want to know what's going on, especially in the global financial system, he's on top of it like no one else. So tell everyone where they can find you, how they can subscribe to you, and where I can get that cool sweatshirt.
Sure. We'll start with the easy part. Follow me on Twitter at TFL1728 for the very first worst version of me every day, without a doubt. Then, you can follow the blog over at ColinLuongo.me or GoldGoatsAndGuns.com. And you can go over to Patreon at Patreon.com/GoldGoatsAndGuns. You can sign up there either for the newsletter or for just the private podcasts and blog posts. Your choice. Right. It's all good. I think it's reasonably priced. And then if you want one of these things, go to CafePress/GoldGoatsAndGuns. We've got, a small merch store. I don't make a big deal out of it. I hate pimping the stuff. But
it looks so cool.
And of course, it says in the back, become ungovernable.
Ungovernable? Yeah, that's your thing.
Absolutely. So, yeah, and they're there. And I think Cafe Press is running a site-wide sale going into Thanksgiving right now. So, you can get them for about 40% off.
I'm getting one of those today. I'm not joking. I love it.
Okay, that's great. Gold Goats, CafePress/GoldGoatsAndGuns. You'll find it.
Great, awesome. Thank you, Tom Luongo. You are always one of my favorite people. And honestly, I think your information is some of the best out there. So please follow him, and I will see you again. And if I don't see you before, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. And we will talk soon. Thanks,
sir. Same to you, Mel. Thank you for having me on, as always. And best Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday of the year, so please enjoy it. Because, it's the only decent non-state holiday we have left. So enjoy it. Take care.
Thank you, sir.
Take care, folks.
Bye-bye. I don't know about you, but I feel a lot better being prepared for whatever's coming. Every day I hear something new. Something's coming from the CDC. Something's coming from the FDA. Who's trying to take over our healthcare system? All this craziness. And what I know is that one man really changed my life, how I look at everything that's happening to me health-wise. And that was Dr. Zelenko. He was a good friend of mine, a good friend of the show. And he came up with the most amazing product. Z-Stack has been a game changer for us. We have not been sick since we've been on it. We take it regularly. If we feel like we're coming down with something, will double up. But he has all new products over at the website. God rest his soul. He did not leave us unprepared, and that is very important for you to prepare. So he's got Z Shield. He's got a kid's Z Stack, which is awesome. He's got Z Flu, Z Detox. He's got all kinds of things. He always said to me, your immune system must be clean, resilient, and resistant. This matters the most. And what I can say on top of that is that he supported me. He supported free speech. He supported medical freedom. He supported personal liberty, and everything that I believe in, he believed in. He inspired me to be myself, to speak up, to speak out. And what matters is that you are feeling healthy, whole, clean, clear, focused, and that your immune system is protected from anything that comes our way. And Z-Stack is the best way to do that. Please stock up on Z-Stack. Go to themelkshow.com. Go to our partners page. Goes down to Z-Stack. That also supports the show. When you buy from our partners, these great people, especially Dr. Zelenko, who is dear to me, you are supporting the show and keeping us going. And I know that truth, freedom, and the First Amendment matter to you. They mattered to him. They mattered to me. So make sure you're always healthy. You're always out there. You're always standing up. Be brave. Courage is contagious. narrative is falling apart, but as it does, there's so much of this fraudulent disinformation, misinformation, censorship coming from the globalists. And what we need to do is be focused on the facts, cut through everything, be discerning, and get it first and foremost out there to everyone. It is important that you know what is going on. Censorship is getting nuts. You guys know it. There's accounts all over the place that are fake, that are not me. I know you guys send me emails and I really appreciate it. And you report it and it's on Telegram and Instagram and Twitter and they're not me. So I'm super excited to announce We the People with Mel K. Be the first to join. It's a VIP community, just you and me behind a paywall, no trolls, no nothing. We get to know each other. I will give you the facts first. I break a lot of stories a long time before other people. We can talk about past, present, future, history, what we're doing now, solutions for going forward, what 2024 is going to look like. I'm going to do breaking news, do a lot of deep dives. I'm going to bring that information to you guys first in a live Q&A every week. So please click the link below and join me over there. We are going to create a community that is censorship proof. It's cancel proof. It's truth. It's transparency. It's on the road to God, country, justice, everything that we want in one place. This is the most incredible, amazing time to be alive. As hard as it seems and as difficult as the battle has been for you guys and definitely for me, all I know is that we all are part of the solution. We are all involved and invested, and you guys have the passion that I have. So let's join together on live Q&As once a week with me, Mel K, we the people of the United States, taking back this nation. This is so exciting, guys. I've been dying to do this, and we finally got the technology right. So please join me. Click the link below. Can't wait to get started.